So basic elements of sustainable tourism, the economic aspect is related to the revenue arising from the tourism development activities. We know that any business that is set up for, especially by private sector or even government sector, it has to generate revenue. To make that product economically sustained, you need to have revenue generation. And for that, it is important that revenue keep coming, because any project that is supported by government funding would at one time have question, why should government keep funding? Look, ideal example of Air India. Finally, now Air India is in the private sector's hand. It remained with a government property, government-owned sector, and you see the result. So many thousands of crores loss was going on. One of the reports said that every day Air India was losing 2 crore rupees. So finally, the revenue generation is important. Environmental aspect is related to nature and the surrounding nearby in the location and its preservation. We have understood that you need to preserve the location and the area around by that, surrounding especially. The socio-culture aspect is related to the people as well as with the culture, especially values and tradition in the society, and of course, abiding by them. So if you want to be part of any social culture activity, you either be part of it or at least respect that. Yeah, this is very important, respecting the socio-culture setup wherever you visit as a tourism. Again, that's a sustainable tourism. These aspects are visible in UNWTO's statement when it highlights the importance of sustainable tourism. So now again we look at some of the definition by UNWTO. Give priority to the environment. Make thoughtful consumption, water, even land, even any natural activity that you are availing, which is available, make consumption with a thought. Water, for example, is in scarcity. Water for many destinations is provided with limited resources available. For example, you go to the Thar Desert or Rajasthan or Run of Kutch, you don't have water supply, and everywhere you don't have flowing rivers or lakes that have preserved water. Obviously, they would provide to the tourists to the maximum tune. Especially hotels will have generator, for example, supply of electricity. But local people are not benefited. They are giving those sacrifices and accepting load share, load cutting or load shedding, what they call it, electricity being cut for local consumers. But tourists are taken care of with the generator that has been put up. So thoughtful consumption, use of environmental resources that constitute a key element in tourism development. Environmental resources, ideal example is the water. And potable water, clean water for consumption, there a stream of water. The scenario should be that from a stream of water, you can just drink a glass of water. I've seen in many hotels in Northern Europe, they have a signage into their washroom. This tap water is drinkable. You can imagine how much care they must be taking of their water, how much clean they would be keeping it. that you can safely drink the tap water. You don't need to go for bottled water or a clean. And this is an announcement they make, an authentic announcement. You can safely drink a tap water. A majority of the tourists, when they go abroad, one of the things that they are always careful is bottled water, because a lot of gastro-related diseases are from the contaminated water. And that contamination only happens when you use it with environmental resources taken care of. Example, if you are on a water stream and you would like to answer nature's call, it is advised and accepted practice that you answer nature call at least 300 to 400 meters away from that water resource, so that it is filtered, it goes away from the flowing water. Even if it goes into water table, it will be filtered down by nature process. Answering nature's call right at the flow is absolutely irresponsible act and not taking care of environment. That's a tourist has to do. This is what I said in my previous lectures. Many international tourism companies give you do's and don'ts. In that, they advise all this, how to take care of environment, how to dispose of waste. Is again taking care of environment for sustainable growth. Mind it, if you are generations all over the world, if the tourists are careful, then this earth will be so pleasant for us to live, and also pleasant for tourists to keep continuously enjoying it for many generations to come. So biodiversity, all these impacts and heritage, all are taken care by sustainable tourism. Another example or definition given is associate with socio-culture fabric, respect the socio-culture authenticity of the host community. If their dress code is in accordance with their social setup, I've seen many international tourists wearing a sari and going to rural area of India, wearing a shalwar kameez with a scarf on their shoulder. That's the respect that they show to the socio-culture canvas of rural India. And likewise, if you go anywhere where certain implementations are there, not everywhere you go, people accept any dress code. Yes. You need to practice those type of dress code wherever required. So respect the social cultural authenticity of host communities, conserve their established and ongoing culture heritage and traditional values. For example, for particular religion, if you have consumed meat, chicken, then they don't enter temples or the places of worship. Respect that. Many, many religious places, tourists are not allowed to come under the influence of alcohol. Respect that. Don't enter if you have consumed alcohol, because it is disturbing their socio-cultural canvas and it will create unpleasant situation for the tourists himself or herself. This may result in a significant increase in interculture and understanding and tolerance. The tolerance level has to be understood. And this is what overall sustainable tourism message is, that you understand others' culture and you gain the habit of tolerance. Tolerance is very important in international culture. I said to you in the beginning itself that no citizen has a right to enter another country just because he or she has a passport and money. It is the decision of that country's authority be it is an immigration officer or a consulate or embassy, to give you visa or refuse you visa. And once you get it, you should have that gratitude and thankful feeling toward that nation, in turn to the host community that you are visiting. Right, that's all sustainable tourism overall, for a growth of a peaceful tourism industry to flourish. All these sustainable tourism component that we have been seeing in today's chapter go hand in glove for us to practice. Again, UNWTO sustainable tourism should look at the economic side. It must ensure viable long-term economic operations, providing socio-economic benefit to all stakeholders. We have seen in the previous slide that it should be fairly distributed. If two airlines are flying, then they should get fair market share from the available consumers. And for that, you need to implement sustainable tourism policies, so economic benefits are fairly distributed. Some of the principles of sustainable tourism again are thoughtful or considerate use of resources. We have known that resources are limited. We took the example of water, and likewise anything. So thoughtful use of it. If you can use so many hotels, have recycling process. They use gray water for irrigation of the lawns or for the plants they have. They use that gray water. They decompose the waste, organic waste. Minimize overconsumption and waste. Preserve biodiversity. Biodiversity that happened naturally, that has to be preserved. Making development and planning progress together. They should go hand in glove together, the development and planning. So in planning, whatever development policies that you do, you need to go and look again if that development policies and planning policies are going in accordance with what you require. Supporting livelihood of the local community. Who can benefit more than a local community? And you will find many examples, like local communities in Phuket as a tourist destination, or Caribbean island as a tourist destination. So many Pacific Ocean islands are getting tourists, and they are benefited out of that. The local communities' living standard have gone higher. Participation of local communities, yes. If you start hiring local community, their living standard will go better. If you need to provide them social setup, education, learning, lifting their capacity, provide that. Say, for example, you have removed a group of tribal people and made their land, bought from them and made that land as a resort for tourists to come in. So those tribal people who have been removed, offer them jobs. They can always be a gardener, a security, semi-skilled job, and so on. And of course, those who are educated, they can be trained for further into reception path, housekeeping. All that can be done to the local communities so that party can be elevated. Principles of sustainable tourism: having one-to-one interaction with the stakeholder and public on regular basis. So you need to have an ongoing communication, regular basis, so that you understand their problem, they put before you their issues, and you work hand in glove so that it is ongoing discussion. Training manpower, I just mentioned about that. that you train the manpower wherever you see, lift their capacity to stand with the international standard or the required standard for tourism industry, marketing tourism responsibly, going with your product with a responsible approach in the industry. Tourism has to be promoted, guaranteeing and assuring only what you can do, not certain things which are either legally not possible or environmentally not possible. These are also very important in tourism marketing, as a responsible tourism marketing, as a component in sustainable tourism marketing, that you market what you can provide, which is legally allowed. Just an example, you cannot guarantee a tourist, okay, come, we'll provide you an alcohol in Gujarat, which is a state that has ban for alcohol. So that's not your marketing. Also, undertaking research. Research is very important because research will help you to understand how the development is going on in accordance with planning. So you take a study and a research for that. Okay, again, principle, additional points to consider are use of local resources, efficient local transportation wherever possible, use of local staying arrangements, maybe encourage many destinations have local communities offering their houses, especially when you go for heritage sites where 2-3 star hotels are always full, that the host community will give you accommodation to stay with a reasonable charge that tourists accept. So local staying arrangements, not all the tourist destinations have equal number of hotel rooms available. If there is a big flow of tourists, many a time tourists have to go far away from that destination to stay because there is no. So in that case, the local host community come in with their arrangements available at their home. Okay, like you go to a hill resort in Sri Lanka called Kandy. Especially a special function happens there known as Perihara. Perihara is where you find local community taking part into a festival wherein elephants are participating, a group of people come on the street with the light flame that is lit with copra, the dry coconut. There, when that big procession goes on, it's like a caravan of elephant, local people dancing, and a huge get-together of international tourists come to have a view at those Perihara festival. So many a time, you don't find hotel rooms available in Kandy. It happens in Kandy, which is a hill resort from Colombo. So for that, you need to stay at someone's house, local community. So supporting local communities, arrangement, and this can be any example from, I'm giving you practical example where I utilize local communities accommodation. It happens everywhere because not every tourist destination has good number of hotel rooms available. So this will provide a feel and experience of the life therein, as well as the help in supporting local business activities, encourage the preservation of cultural heritage by appreciating but not altering archaeological sites. Yeah, by not altering, you can't just go and write on those archaeological sites with a marker or a charcoal and write, you know, comments that you like to see. I was here so-and-so day, and so on. This is damaging the archaeological sites, damaging and not a sustainable tourism practice. also sampling the local cuisine and learning about the traditional custom and belief system. There are a lot of tourists who would like to listen from a local tourist guide from the same region. Say you are into Chhattisgarh, tribal belt, the Bastar area. There you will learn lot of beliefs and customs and tradition of those tribal people. Why do they celebrate Dashera for the 5 days? And so many such practices and belief. Why do people worship like this? Why do people wear so and so clothes? Why? And you have answer and you respect them. You find some sense out of it. And then you start respecting. Principle of sustainable tourism also is visiting or volunteering at the local community projects. Now, volunteer tourism or inviting tourism background people to help the local communities to lift their capacity is something called volunteer tourism, wherein NGOs or international organization encourage travelers to come, enjoy their holiday, at the same time volunteer that area. I mentioned this in one of the chapters. What is a volunteer tourism? So that's again a sustainable tourism. You have shown respect to the host community. You have uplifted their capacity to meet international standard. Support fair trade. Now, fair trade is an international commitment wherein purchasing goods directly from the individual, so there is no middleman involved. For example, an artifact, some local memento, some architect, something designed by local community and sold as souvenirs, giveaway, that you buy directly from the host community or their social setup as a cooperative movement, you buy from them, so ultimately no middleman involved, and that's direct benefit going to the host community. That again is a sustainable tourism principle. So we have seen environmental dimension also. It may be seen that people relate the environment only to the natural and physical environment and its protection. It may be noted that the environmental aspect covers more than just the natural thing. Yes. So when we talk about natural resources are that tourism make use of a wide range of natural resources. It could be hills, seashells, rivers, clean air, land, beaches, mineral waters, and the water in the lake and seas. So you can see how you can think of the environmental and what all it covers. So polluting the air is again damaging environment. Dumping dirty water into the sea or drinking water, again damaging. Spoiling the beach with the waste and littering around, again an environmental damage. And other sources. And the sea, of course, sea is not accepting any waste. It will dump out, it will throw any waste out. That's why you find fish, those who are dead, will come back on the shore. Natural habitat, again, is environment. Tourism is only one industry or activity. We change landscape. Which changes landscape, sorry. The natural habitat represent the core of the tourism product in many areas, like natural forests, mountains, and region that attract tourists because of their rivers and lake. So people visit because it has a wonderful river, beautiful flow of river, where you find stream of water coming out of straight from the glaciers. The river at the source where it began, the water is much pure and clean in compared to when it's come, the flowing water lands on a plain and then it starts flowing. There it starts getting dirty because of the damage that has been done by the local communities living around, putting their waste there. Agri-based habitat, so we have seen the natural habitat from the river, lakes. You know, lakes are the main, many lakes which have providing drinking water may not be available for any sort of navigation. No boat will be sailing around other than the maintenance and the cleaning part of the lake, because it's a drinking water, like lakes supplying water to Mumbai is not available for commercial sailing, which is available in Powai Lake, which is not a drinking water. It is used for many industrial areas and so on. Agri-based habitat may include a diverse range of agriculture system, including agricultural landscape, man-made forests, and fish farms. So in agri-farming, you will also see lot of fish farming happening these days. For example, the prawns are grown in these type of fish farm for commercial use, because naturally you cannot catch so much of prawn that can be sold in international market or for the local consumption. For tourists, fish is one eating habit that many people have accepted because of its low cholesterol, and it is a white meat, not a red meat. So those who are non-vegetarian love to eat fish, and the demand for fish has increased, ultimately resulting into fish farming, which again is a habitat for agri-farming tourism. Wildlife has many dimensions, such as land-based mammals and reptiles, flora and fauna, birds, insects, fish, and other marine mammals. So we do have good number of national parks, wildlife parks, where wildlife is protected in those national parks. Like you can talk of James Cobert National Park, you can talk of Gir National Park. Many national parks are within India, in practically almost every state. Kazimara in Assam, to give you an example, small, big Sanjay Gandhi National Park near Borivali. We do have national park practically in all states where wildlife is protected, where wildlife preservation, be it is any big animals or internationally. I gave you the example of the famous Kruger National Park, KNP, in South Africa, or the national parks Masai Mara in Kenya. They are all national park preserving the wildlife. And wildlife is, many of these species are now endangered species, thanks to our project of lion. And we have been saving at Gir National Park, and the population of lion has increased because of the care taken for wildlife. Elephants increasing. We have taken care of it. We have certain national parks for bird sanctuaries where we are preserving different kinds of birds. We have Birds National Park in Kerala, for example. And so on. So all over India, we have number more than 50 national parks are there with bird sanctuaries. You remember the bird man, Salim Ali? He was India's bird man, famous for study of birds. And of course, wildlife. So different type of wildlife is being protected, including insects, fish, flora, fauna, and insects. You can talk about butterfly. For example, small butterfly. There are farms where tourists go for butterfly tourism, wherein you go and have a glimpse of different type of butterflies to look at. Flowers, how can we forget? I mentioned about the tulip gardens in Kashmir, in Amsterdam, and many places in the world. France has many farming. You have got flower farming in Nashik, as I said to you, between Nashik and Devlali, good number of farms. People go there. These are all part of tourism and taking care of wildlife, including various examples that I gave. Tourism may be very harmful to wildlife throughout the destruction of habitats. And this, we were seeing this in the old British Raj and the Maharajas, Nawabs, Rajwadas. They were famous of killing wildlife as shikar, as their hobby, ultimately resulting into many species going endangered. Many have disappeared. That's why we have severe punishment, those who damage the wildlife. So disrupting breeding seasons and patterns, fires in the forest and woodland, and people picking rare plants. These are all various things that can damage the tourism link to a wildlife. People go there and no one watches me, and I'll kill this animal, or I will pick up some of the rare plant. Or for that matter, even reptiles. Some of the reptiles have gone endangered. Certain tortoise, certain turtles you will find getting endangered. Reptiles, all flora and fauna for that matter. That's why dumping of water near the seashore is banned in many countries. You have to go deep into the sea, maybe 20 to 30 kilometers, and dispose of the gray water which is there on a cruise ship to be dumped there. Cruise liners have been penalized, fined millions of dollars for dumping gray water near the coral areas. Of course, no one does it now because many international cruise liners have been fined because they were not taking care of the flora and fauna. Fire, you keep hearing of the wildfire. Australia, last year you must have heard, huge amount of fire broke out beginning of this year, I believe, yes. And it destroyed local animals, that includes kangaroo and other local animals. Mammals which live in the wild, but they are mammals, they are friendly to human being. Artificial habitat is again tourism environment. It is also required to understand the importance of artificial habitat that may encourage tourism activity. It may be noted that in context of tourism, there are several dimensions. The artificial habitats such as individual buildings and structure, villages and townscape, transport infrastructure, dams and reservoir. These are all man-made to create, provide support to tourism growth. These man-made activities have been done, and the Statue of Unity in Gujarat is one of the recent examples in India of artificial habitat that have been created. Not to forget many entertainment parks that have been continuously keep coming, like Disneyland, Disney World. These are all habitat, artificial habitat that provide tourism to grow, but part of our environment. And all this has to be done with sustainability in the mindset. So adverse effect of tourism on environment, negative path is, it relates to the pressure on natural resources, water, limited supply. So if you consume more of a water for various things, then it put pressure on the water supply that is available, ultimately resulting into no water. Yes, few tourist destinations were closed for tourists because they did not have enough water. It goes on a record that once monsoon failed or the rainy season failed in Cyprus, the tourists were stopped. Cyprus, which grows wine, they lost all their vineyards. And water was imported from Greece to support the water supply for local people because it has put pressure on that limited resource of water. So likewise, it can harm anything to wildlife. The wildlife that look for drinking water at various biodiversity, smaller water resources that are naturally available for them, that would go dry, and it has a negative impact on tourism growth. Pollution, waste related, also putting pressure on social culture setup. So, adverse effect among the environmental issues that need to be addressed are deterioration of natural resources, the way how they are losing and they are deteriorating, disruption of wildlife and habitats. Wildlife, they don't find sources of water. You hear many a time that cheetah from RA colony enters the local area where local people live because they are looking for their survival. They are looking for the wildlife, looking for water, drinking water, which is dried up in the natural environment that is available. That's all a negative impact. Creation of pollution and waste, and this is ongoing. Despite so much of hard work put up by sustainable tourism policies, still pollution and waste is ongoing. Still, it has to be addressed in a big way. I'll give you two examples. I gave the example of Maldives, where because of the waste pollution, water level rising, Maldives, one of their ex-president called for a meeting in the water. He sat with all his minister into water and said an appeal to the world, please take care of global warming, pollution and waste because the sea level is rising. We are island. There would come a day when our island would sink. That was a message given. And obviously, the pollution has to be reduced drastically. It's one of the requirements for sustainable tourism. As a negative impact, it brings in a lot of waste. Plastic waste. For this, UNWTO called for an international meet about plastic management. So contaminating the land, fresh water resources, and marine resources. We have spoken on this before. Thank you very much. You were listening to Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. Thank you.